Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning, and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, and this is your opportunity to be heard. Come on, folks, sit down, relax, and enjoy. Court Radio is your place for legal entertainment and a little education, or vice versa, every Saturday morning. Join in the studio with my friends, the one and the only, Manny Manuel Glenn.
It's good to have you as a friend, Dean. Good morning, sir.
Good morning,
looking
Manuel.
Looking well. Looking sharp, too, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Well, the folks can't see it. You can describe it.
He is replacent in what I would call a royal blue, what pattern is that? Very patterned jacket, a gray and red silk tie, white crisp shirt, and a pair of those jeans.
There are jeans.
Those shoes, though. Those shoes are awesome. I don't know what they are, brother, but those blue shoes are working.
Yeah, those are my Louis Vuittons.
Ah, Louis.
My summer Louis.
Summer Louis.
Yeah. With a Brioni sport coat.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Y'all got that. Brioni sports coat.
All right, folks. Well, you know, I promised you last week, and I'm going to honor my promise, as I try to always do.
Okay.
That we're going to talk about insurance today. Cars are on the road. I came to work today, and there was a lot of traffic. There was a car broken down.
You saw that black car?
Yeah. I noticed a ton of Teslas. I mean, I must have passed 8 or 9 Teslas on the way.
You passed Teslas. That's saying something.
I still have a petrol engine car. I guess I'll be probably the last petrol engined person in America.
How do you feel about that, by the way, going electric if that happens?
Well, you know, the kids, they won't know any better. There will come a time when, you know, nobody will have driven a gasoline smog creating engine. They'll just be driving electric.
But you'll miss their...
I'll miss it.
I will too.
Yeah, they won't know any better.
Here's a question: will insurance be different for electric cars?
No
difference whatsoever.
No.
Combustible engines as opposed to electric engines and batteries. No difference.
I don't think so. The cost to repair an electric car may be greater at some point. It probably is now. But they're so new that there's not a whole heck of a lot of repair history that goes on that the insurance companies can, base their rates upon. That would be the only difference. They drive the same, right? They
don't feel the same, but they do drive the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
they're coming with a lot more safety measures built in. You know, they're driving themselves. At some point, they might avoid accidents. You know,
I don't know.
There's accident avoidance systems in the cars nowadays.
I have two friends that have electric cars. No mechanic I know has ever worked on one yet. I don't know what to expect if anything goes wrong. But one thing I don't have, I don't know anyone that has the, what do you call that when a car drives itself now? What is it called?
Yeah. Self-driving.
I don't know that I could trust that. I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah. I owned a Tesla for a year.
Okay.
Okay. So I have some experience. And at that time I lived in Bucks County. So I was coming down I-95 to get to work. And I would sleep on the way to work. You know, I would take a little snooze. The car would drive, and I would, you know, show up. No, just kidding. but you can kind of, you know, not pay as strict attention as you do. The car literally followed the lane down I-95, steering curves, If traffic was ahead, it would slow down.
So you let it go for a moment?
Yeah, for a moment.
And how did you feel? Did you feel comfortable?
Well, the first time I felt freaked out.
Yeah.
You know, the second time probably too.
Right.
But eventually, you know, you kind of begin to depend upon the car doing what it's supposed to do. Now, God help you if it doesn't. But, yeah, it did. It was work. And that was, that's got to be 5 years ago or more. And I'm sure they've made great strides since then. In fact, if anybody's listening and you rely upon self-driving cars, give us a call.
Yeah, please.
215-227-2727, the number for all things legal.
If you get in an accident in a self-driving car, I just think that there are all different types of malfunctions that could happen that don't make you liable. I don't know. This is a new world for me. You, of course, this is going to be your ballywick at some point, right?
Yes. And when the systems fail, there will be injuries. There will be crashes. And perhaps worse than with a gasoline car. Maybe. I don't know. But the bottom line is that the car has saved people. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but even in my regular engined car, if the car senses I'm about to crash into something, it applies the brakes in an instant.
The automotive you're talking about?
No.
What are you talking about?
There's automation built into regular, newer
anti-lock, this and that. I get
you. Yeah, no, but no. I'm talking about the brakes apply themselves. I did not touch the brakes, and it thought I was going to hit something in front, and the car comes to a stop.
I don't have that car yet.
You do not. But it is out there.
It is out there.
And there are folks that are listening that have that as well. And so the car, I believe we are headed to a place where we will have less accidents.
Okay. I'm the guy that likes to wait for them to get the kinks out before I say, all right, I'll purchase it. And that means, unfortunately, some folks will have accidents before I'm like, okay, is it safe now?
Yeah, and there will be accidents, but you have to look at all the accidents that have been prevented or lessened because of it when you go into that calculus. So, yes, there may be some accidents that occur because of it, because of a reliance on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's going to be a whole lot of accidents that never happened that could have happened if the car was relying upon the eyes and ears of the driver.
I'm just thinking of statues. I'm thinking of normally if you're in something and you're not driving, it's a bus, it's a train or something. But now this is your vehicle you're in that drives itself. Do the liability laws change? Are there going to be different stipulations, different line items for something like this? I don't know. This is a whole new world we're going into.
It is. It is. And we're exploring it together.
Okay.
Hand in hand. 215-227-2727. All right, let's talk about insurance for a moment. I want to say this. You should not be the person that just insures their car and doesn't insure their body. How to get uninsured and underinsured motorists without it costing you any more money? Because I'm telling you, there are folks out there who have waived. Whenever given the opportunity for us humans to save a buck and waive something, we're waiving. Hey, I waive that. But what happens when you need it? What happens when you need it? I want to give you a scenario. Nowadays, see, I used to be a big fan of Uber, Lyft, those, what do you call those?
Rideshares.
I used to be a big fan of those because they had a lot of insurance. So God forbid if you're in one of those cars, an Uber vehicle, and some bonehead comes out of a stop sign and you have the right of way in your Uber car and you get T-boned and you're in the hospital with broken bones, Uber had $1 million in uninsured or underinsured motorist in order to protect the occupants of their car. They were a good company. They are not a good company any longer.
What changed?
They figured out that the politicians in Pennsylvania gave them a pass. That the politicians said, ride shares don't need to have this coverage. Well, as soon as you give a corporation the opportunity to save some money for their shareholders, not their riders, they're going to jump on that, jump on it. And that's exactly what they did. So they went from $1 million to $250,000 to $100,000 to $15,000 to zero.
Get the heck out of here.
Zero. You get into an Uber car at your own risk. There's no uninsured or underinsured. Now, if the Uber driver himself or herself is negligent in causing you injuries, there's coverage.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably plenty of coverage.
Didn't this happen to our police commissioner? Similar situation, she ride share?
I'm not sure.
But if
you should be hit by some other driver in Philadelphia who doesn't have insurance or doesn't have enough insurance, maybe they have a minimum policy, which, by the way, is ridiculously low at $15,000 per person. And that hasn't changed since probably 1984. Okay. Politicians love to create laws and then they just forget about them. Dust bunnies grow on those laws. They never change them. They never think to put in an inflation escalation. Nothing. They just, it's $15,000 in 1984. It'll be good for 2025 or whatever, 2023.
It'll come up again if needed.
It never comes up because to come up means that they have to take on the insurance lobby. And those cats in Harrisburg just don't have the cojones to take on the insurance companies.
Are they that tough?
They got that much money.
Are they NRA tough?
They got cash.
They got cash.
They donate to campaigns.
Nobody ever talks about this lobby, you know. No one ever talks about the insurance lobby. Ever.
Yeah, no, they don't. Or in any of it, let's not get sidetracked.
Well, I'm not, but I mean, they're a powerful entity.
Absolutely.
Very powerful.
Yes. They got all the...
And legally so, because it wasn't always the law. No-fault insurance. I think that came about late 70s.
Yes.
Early 80s.
Yes.
All right. Prior to that, what was going on?
We had a system in place that allowed crazy things to happen, like double dipping, and we can get into that. But that's a whole nother show. What I want to say is if you folks don't have uninsured and underinsured motorists and you get into a rideshare or you get into your own vehicle and somebody hits you and creates catastrophe for you and your family, the only way for you to get compensated is if you thought ahead and purchased uninsured and underinsured motorist. It's as simple as that. You get in the car at your own risk every day. Accidents happen, and you could be laid up for weeks, months, or the rest of your life. And the only way you're going to have some funds to take care of yourself, to pay for your hospital bills, to be a substitute for the income you've lost is if you insure yourself to the maximum of your maximum ability with uninsured and underinsured motorists. I just can't say it enough because I have seen such horrific accidents where folks, I mentioned this before, it's worth mentioning again. I represented a sergeant in the Philadelphia Police Department and he had a good job. He was making six figures. He had a few cars. He had $15,000 in uninsured and underinsured motorist. A woman struck him as a pedestrian and broke both of his legs. He needed to learn to walk again. He was out of work for months. And what did he collect? He collected $15,000 from the woman who hit him. Because that's all she had, and he had $15,000 in underinsured motorist for himself. How does it work? If you're struck by somebody who has no insurance, then you have uninsured motorist on your policy to pay your bodily injury claim should you be injured by an uninsured motorist. If the person who hit you has insufficient coverage, then you take from the underinsured motorist pot. Yes.
Okay. Now, we're assuming that the person that hits you actually stops.
A phantom vehicle, one who you're not able to identify the driver of, is considered an uninsured vehicle.
Bang. There you go.
So whether they leave the scene and you cannot identify them, or they stay and they don't have insurance, or they stay and they don't have enough insurance, in any of those circumstances, you're looking back at your own carrier for this coverage. And if you don't have it, you're done.
You wanted to say another word, but I get you.
215-227-2727. Who amongst us is riding around without uninsured and underinsured motorist?
I don't know.
And why She just left the room. No. go ahead. Go do your thing.
That was cold.
That was cold.
No, it's really important that you have this coverage. And you can get it, and we started this conversation by saying that you can get it without spending more money.
How?
By tweaking your policy. How? Well, let's say you have collision coverage on your car. Why is it that everybody insures their car but not their body?
They don't think about it, or they don't want to pay the extra cost.
Well, if you have a note on your car, the note holder forces you to cover your car.
But if you own it outright.
If you own it outright, then you have a decision to make. What do I insure? If it comes down to dollars and cents, a budgetary issue, I have X amount of dollars to spend for insurance, then you can increase your deductibles. That's the first line. Everybody should increase their deductibles. If you have a $250 deductible, $100 deductible, a $500 deductible, you're crazy.
Really?
Crazy.
Really?
Yes. Because by increasing your deductible, you lower your premium, right? You could take those savings that you've just lowered your premium and purchase uninsured and underinsured motorist. This way, yeah, you're taking a risk. So if your car was banged up or stolen, you may be on the hook for $1,000 or $2,500 that you would not have had to worry about if you had a lower deductible. However, do you think that every time you get in the car, you should be worried that you're going to sustain a bodily injury, one that you're going to be out of pocket maybe for excess medical bills and whatnot, and you don't have the coverage for it?
People who think that I'm such a good driver, I'll never get in an accident. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll be good. It's too expensive. Meanwhile, I got to pay this, that, and the other. This is how
if you poor think folks that think. Way,
poor
if,
people think this way.
Then you're crazy. You're
well,
not.
They're
you're
crazy.
Not poor. You're crazy because have you been out there?
Yes.
There are people out there on their cell phones and their tablets and communicating with, you know, God knows who. And
driving self-driving cars.
And eyes off the road.
Yeah.
I mean, how many head-on collisions? God forbid. This just last week, we had a collision on the Schuylkill where four people perished.
That's right.
In a car.
We were on our way here. You're right. By a
drunk driver.
They were in a rideshare.
They were in a rideshare.
That's right. That's right.
They were in a rideshare. The drunk driver hits them head on. Did they think that they were responsible folks? They may have been out drinking that night. They got into a rideshare so they can come home safely and didn't have to drive.
You're so right. That's right. Mm. That did happen. It affected us coming to work. You're absolutely right.
And that's four families that lost loved ones.
And a fifth, they ruined because he killed those people. That family's ruined as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No.
And so if that had happened 5 years ago, Uber, if that were the rideshare company, would have paid each of those families $1 million in uninsured motorist benefits or underinsured motorist benefits.
Mm.
No questions asked. $1 million. But because the politicians in Harrisburg say you don't need to have insurance if you're a rideshare for the occupants of your car, then they've gotten rid of it. And those people all get zero.
I just want to know, why go that way for Uber? Why allow them that? Why?
And Uber conducts
that
business
caveat
in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that they have this coverage in many, many other states because the politicians in those states require it.
But why not here?
Because folks go to the voting box and they don't think about things like this. These little issues that become issues for individual families, God forbid, like the families who are suffering from that loss last week, they become issues then. But they're not issues today when we're all sitting here talking about it. And that's when we need to think about it. Right now, when we're safe and there's no problems and your family's safe, you need to talk to the politicians. You need to tell them that rideshare companies must have significant and sufficient insurance policies to protect those who are in the cars.
Say it again.
215-227-2727. If you're angry, you need to give us a call and talk about this because this is the kind of stuff that we need to have conversations about before we need to have the coverage that we don't have.
Right. Well, you speak now of a time, and especially after COVID, We got more wheels on the street than ever. And I say wheels because there are cars, there are e-bikes, there are bikes, there are scooters, there are delivery trucks. Everything is on wheels now. Folks are getting deliveries more than ever before. They're ordering. What you just said about Uber, I don't know if it applies to Lyft or the others, but I think it needs something to be talked about. And if you're an elected official listening, you need to think about what Dean just said, because four people did die last week. We technically bear witness because we saw the results of it. What's going to change? Has there been any conversation about that since then? No.
No.
No. And it needs to be.
Yes.
You think there needs to be?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. We have to take care of our own. Isn't that really what we're all about?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is being there for one another, helping one another. And to allow a corporation that makes billions of dollars to get a free pass in Pennsylvania is just insanity.
Are you thinking or saying or insinuating that maybe there are some politicians in the pockets of the insurance companies?
They're not in the pockets in that sense.
No.
I don't believe.
Not like the NRA and the gun lobby. Not like that.
Well, yeah, like that.
Similar.
I mean, look, if you're getting donations to your campaign from an insurance lobby, how likely are you to enact a law that is detrimental to that benefactor?
Nobody thinks about this, though. They don't think about, you don't even hear the term insurance lobby. Do you? You don't even think about that. Yeah. But it's important, and it's one that it sounds like we all need to know. It sounds like you've gone up against them a few times.
Just like I'm saying, you do not want to be the person that insures your car over your body. You can get uninsured and underinsured motorist for not a lot of money more, simply by adjusting your policy so that you have higher limits on your deductibles, and you then take those savings and purchase uninsured and underinsured motorist. You must do that. If you are driving in Pennsylvania today and you don't have uninsured and underinsured motorist, you and your family are in grave danger.
I have Geico. And I'm going to switch, but I will say this about Geico. The better I drive, and they keep a register of how well you're doing, no problems, the rate comes down with this particular insurer. But it's, for me, it's still high. And listening to you guys talking prior to the show, I'm thinking about shopping around. That's the issue. You can shop around for these rates. And some companies are saying, what's the one that says only pay for what you need and something like that. But it's affordable for everybody, and it's worth the risk. That's what you're saying. Everyone should. You can find a rate that you can afford to get the coverage you need. You should do this.
Absolutely. And there's usually one or two companies that want to pick up new clients, and their rates are usually better than the others. So it's not surprising if each year you shop around, you may find somebody who's willing to give. Because usually when you're with a company, the second year you pay more, the third year you pay more, the fourth year you pay more.
Yeah.
And once they have you and they keep you, they just keep ticking the rates up. So it's good to move around. It
shop
absolutely
around.
Is. Shop around and move around, because I think you will find cheaper rates each time you do that process.
I think that affects the market to the other insurance companies, but maybe lessen their costs if we all keep shopping around for better deals and better insurance. All of you out there within the sound of my voice, I am the worst guy when it comes to insurance. I'm not a fan, but I have to do it. So I, too, have sucked it up. I've taken their advice. It can feel a little painful, but it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I can tell you that first off.
Let's take Diane, line 3 from South Philly. Good morning, Diane, and welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, Diane.
Dean, good morning. I'm going to start calling you Dynamite Dean, okay? Because you earned this title.
What's happening, Diane? How are you?
Listen. I'm hanging in there.
Good.
My daughter just turned 39 this Tuesday.
Wow.
I purchased her a car last year because she made the Dean's List, the 3.8.
All right. Congratulations.
That is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing something right, Diane.
Oh, yes. Homeowner, here's the problem. Our insurance just went up because I have her on my insurance. The car is mine in my name, but she's the driver. The insurance just went up. Now they're trying to get us all these prices to try to bundle. My homeowner's insurance is great. I'm paying $112 a month. okay, it can't get any lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is covered except vandalism. But they're trying to get, no, not they're trying to get, we have to make a decision. Should we bundle or should I just keep the insurance under my name and pick her up as a driver? And we're going to get uninsured and uninsured. And what's the other one?
Under and uninsured. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get that. Yes. Because you mentioned that, and I was like, oh, my goodness, you're right about that. And I'm glad you passed the information on about these Uber and these Lyft, because you are putting yourself in high risk when you get in there and something happened. And that accident up on the expressway was a perfect example why we need this.
Yep, absolutely. And let me say this, Diane, with regards to your bundling. You know, sometimes a carrier, a single carrier, will offer homeowners coverages and auto coverages. In fact, most of them do, I suppose. And they will give you a break on both coverages if you get them both from the same carrier. That's the bundling. If you're a homeowner and you can bundle, then it may make sense to do that, because you're going to save a little bit on both, because you're giving both sides of your business to the same company. Mm-hmm. That's a no-brainer. If the auto insurance and the homeowner's insurance together are less than you would pay if you had done it separately, you just need to make a comparison of the various premiums before you make that decision. Diane, thanks for being a listener.
Thank you. No problem, Dynamite.
Be well. Thank you, and good luck to your daughter in the coming semester.
Dynamite Dean.
Have a blessed and safe weekend out here coming up.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
215-227-2727. That's the number for Court Radio on Saturday mornings. It's the number for My Philly Lawyer all week long. If you have legal issues, we're always here for you. Simply give us a call at that number. But during Court Radio, from 9 to 10 on Saturday mornings, you're getting me, Manny Manuel, Eric Tactics Jackson, and Sarah O.
Motorcycles.
Yes.
I'm noticing more of those on the road now. And the three-wheeler John everybody's riding around on?
Tricycles.
Motorized tricycles.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm sure insurance is different for those.
Well,
but you need to have it.
Yeah. Anything that has a motor with a license plate.
With a license plate.
Must be insured in Pennsylvania. If it's required to have a license plate, it's required to have insurance coverage.
Okay. That answers the question.
If you own more than one car, you can double, triple, or quadruple your coverage for pennies more on the dollar.
Pennies more.
Pennies more.
Not
literally.
Dollars more. Pennies more.
And this is called stacking. Stacking.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I deprived my prize pupil of his moment. How does stacking work, Eric?
Basically, it's all these cars under one insurance. And
what happens to your coverages?
Don't. Stacking.
They're stacked.
You're under a little pressure, a little bit.
Let me ask you this. I'll do it in real numbers. If you have three cars,
right,
and you have a 25,000 over 50,000 policy, so 25,000 per person, 50,000 per accident, and you own three cars and you choose to stack, how much coverage do you have?
Don't ask me, Professor Dean.
Basically, the sum of all three.
There you go. So you have 75,000 per person.
Right.
So should you be in an accident and sustain a significant injury, and you own three cars, but only one car was in the accident, and it wasn't your fault, but you happen to have been hit by somebody who didn't have insurance or they didn't have enough, and your injuries are worth more than whatever they have, you can collect up to $75,000 for an individual in your household.
Mm-hmm.
And that member in your household doesn't even need to be in one of your cars.
Mm-hmm.
He or she could be a pedestrian. Mm-hmm. They could be driving in your car. It doesn't matter. You come back to the household, and as long as the injuries you sustained are significantly more than the coverage of the person who caused that accident, you get to come back home and collect up to $75,000 if you chose stacking. If you did not choose stacking, you get $25,000. What does it cost to go from $25,000 to $75,000? And I'm saying maybe $20 a policy period.
Well, there you go. Pennies.
Yeah. Technically. It is the cheapest coverage you can have, dollar for dollar. And if you give up stacking, you're a fool. It's as simple as that. There's absolutely no reason to ever give up stacking. Period.
I know some folks are hearing this for the first time.
215-227-2727. We'll be back in 2 minutes after our sponsors have their way with you. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call my Philly lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly lawyer, when winning matters most.
When we say winning matters most, we mean it. My Philly Lawyer just helped secure an $80 million victory for a client suffering from a defective medical product. Whether it's a motor vehicle, workplace, or medical malpractice injury, My Philly Lawyer gets results.
If you've been injured and want aggressive, thoughtful, thorough representation, call My Philly Lawyer first.
Philly's legal champions, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. The place where you come for a little legal entertainment and some education. And I hope today you're getting some education out there about your insurance. Mm. And then take this information and put it to good use. Actually, take a look at your policy today. By the way, I will review your insurance policy for free.
Oh, stop. Did you just say that?
I did. And, you know, I mean, if I got 10,000 folks who are listening to send me their policy, it would be probably unbearable.
You might get that.
I don't think so. I've made this offer before, and, you know, there's usually a dozen or so people who take me up on it.
And a little more incentive.
And I'm happy to do this. If you would like to email your insurance policy to me, send it to dean@myphillylawyer.com. I'll review the policy with you, make some suggestions, and I'll that's just, you know, me giving back to the folks that are loyal listeners to Court Radio. I'm not looking for anything out of this. I just want to make sure that folks, when you need this, you have it, and it's what you expect it to be, and it's there for you. And, you know, I think about my parents. Like, you know, when I was, coming up, and I'm, you know, just graduating law school, and I'm looking over their insurance policies, and they were being taken advantage of forever by bad insurance advice or no insurance advice on their own. And then they pay this money,
the insurance company really isn't giving them anything of value, because when the time comes for them to need it, they don't have what they thought they had. And that's just disappointing to me, and it's not what I want for our listeners.
And insurance companies don't feel obligated to tell you what you need. You got to figure it out yourself.
I want to say that insurance companies try to sell you the junkiest policy they can. And it kind of goes, it makes you go, you know, because like if they sold you the best policy, the premium would be greater. So why not sell me the better policy? Because if I sell you a better policy, I may make some more money on the premiums, but it exposes me, the insurance company, to a lot more risk.
So why don't they?
Because they don't want to be exposed to risk. The less risk the insurance company has, the happier they are. So if they sell you a policy that doesn't really, that they're never going to have to pay you anything on it, but they get 80% of the premium, they get that 80% for free. If they sell you a policy that has another 20% added onto the premium, but it exposes them to a lot more liability if you should be in an accident and need them,
makes sense.
Then they're losing money on you.
They're in the business to make money.
And so my belief is that when it comes to this kind of bread and butter insurance, like auto insurance, the crappier the policy, the happier the insurance company is.
Something else we learned today, stacking and crappy policies.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, let me say this. One of the things that insurance companies will never try to convince you to take is the one thing that you have to have.
What's that?
Full tort coverage.
They don't want you to have full tort.
No. And it costs you more money. They make more money. But if you have full tort, then every accident you're in, you potentially are a claimant. That every accident where you've sustained an injury, you are potentially a claimant to the insurance industry. So as an industry, they want to try to convince everybody to get limited tort. Saves you money. Saves you money. Get a cheaper policy. Yeah, that's okay. Because you'll never be able to collect anything if you're injured. See, you essentially give the driver of the at-fault vehicle a free pass. Manny Manuel's driving down the street, and he's smoking a stogie, talking to his friends on his cell phone, and he pops the car in front of him in the butt and sustain. You know,
pull
that
up to the bumper, baby.
that driver is whiplash. They've got horrible injuries. They go from the scene to the hospital. And that driver in that car shows limited tort. Doesn't matter what you have. You struck them. You're at fault 100%. You got to repair their vehicle. But when it comes time to repairing their body, when it comes time to paying them for the injuries you caused, you get a free pass because they chose limited tort.
You got to have these conversations because folks don't think about this stuff. That's terrible.
And so, you know, you say, wait a minute. I hear this all the time. Clients will call in that I was in an accident. I was injured. I've been to the doctor. I say, well, tell me, what do you have, full or limited? What does it matter what I have? Doesn't it matter what they have? No, it matters what you have. Because when you choose limited tort, you give a free pass to the at-fault drivers in Pennsylvania. Carte blanche. Hit me. Injure me. I've got limited tort, and I can't do anything about it. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to some callers. Line one, Carl. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Carl. Hey, what's up, Dean? How you doing, man?
I'm well, thanks. What's going on in your world today, Carl?
Good morning, fellas. Got a question, man. I was in a car accident, sir. The lady that hit me, she had minimum insurance and everything. But long story short, they settled out of court. They're not releasing my check until they check a lien on me. From 1994, they want a warrant of satisfaction. Is that legal?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, yes. In New Jersey, anybody who's been involved in a car accident and has a settlement must do a child support search. The company in New Jersey that does that for most lawyers is Charles Jones. The Charles Jones company does a search of the dockets, and if there is any open judgments or liens against a person who's been in an accident, the attorney is forbidden from releasing those funds to his or her client until the judgment is satisfied. Absent like about $2,500, like you get a free pass for $2,500, but everything over that has to go to pay the child support lien. And I've had many clients whose the liens were paid; they just weren't marked paid on the judgment index, and we needed to go back to court to uncover. And that is separate and
that's
apart.
A mess.
Yeah, it's a big mess. It's a big mess. And I don't know, is this the first time you're finding out that you have a 1994 judgment on the docket? First off, is the judgment legit or not?
The judgment is legit, but Dean, it was for $364, sir.
Yes.
And matter of fact, I went to probation yesterday to get it. I actually sent it to the lawyer so he can have it, so he can get my case rolling again.
Yep, yep.
I had to get a warrant of satisfaction yesterday.
Yes, yes.
I took care of that.
Good for you, Carl.
I faxed it to my lawyer.
Good for
and
you.
And I made sure he got that so they could release my money. I got money pending on this.
Yes.
I'm like, but everything's good. I paid it off. It was for $364, sir.
And you know what? It's good that it's off. Listen, if you ever go to buy a house, you'd buy, whatever, a car, that judgment may affect you in ways you weren't even aware. And so having it knocked off now is definitely a good thing. But the point you bring up and the point I make is that, yes, when you're involved in a motor vehicle accident and you have a settlement, somebody's going to have to do a judgment search, both in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, to make sure that nothing – in Pennsylvania, it's more automated. The district attorney calls us or sends a letter to us because they're constantly looking at claims being made. Every time a claim is made in Pennsylvania, your Social Security company – your Social Security number is put into a database. The district attorney's offices in Pennsylvania have access to that database, and they run the Social Security number. And if it pops up with a judgment, a child support judgment in Pennsylvania, they then send us a letter at the early part of your claim. And we know at the beginning that we're going to have to deal with that at the end. It comes up all the time. And it's often a sticking point or a point of aggravation between the client and the lawyer because the client feels like, the lawyer's not looking out for them. But the law is the law, and the lawyer has to intervene between the client and the judgment at that moment.
And they get mad because the lawyer has to get their fee.
Oh, of course. Well, what my fee has nothing to do with your old child support judgment. Let's get that straight right now, okay?
Thanks, Dean, man. I appreciate it.
Carl, be well. Thanks for being a listener, brother. Have a great day.
Have a good one.
215-227-2727. I hope you're gaining something from today's show, folks.
I am.
There's a whole lot of information coming at you fast.
And for free.
Yeah. All right.
You read over a lot of policies. What mistakes does everybody make? The tort thing?
They have limited tort. They have they've got a 2012 let's say a 2012 car. It's an 11-year-old car. They've got it completely covered with comp collision, $250 deductible. They're spending $800 a year, $800 a year to protect their car, and they don't have any protection for their body.
Yeah.
Let the car go, folks. If you're so sure you're not going to be in an at-fault accident, then the other side will pay for your car. If you're not at fault, they're going to pay for your car. I mean, yeah, if your car is stolen, but who's stealing a 2012 car?
How important is it to actually get the value of your car?
How important it is? Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. If you have $8,000 in medical expenses, you're not going to work, you've got a limp for the rest of your life, you don't want to be compensated for any of that? You're giving that up.
Right.
Every time you get in a car, that's a possibility of the outcome. just like your car could be damaged, but so could your body. And so you're willing to get in a car and not have any coverage for your body, but you got to get this 2012 car insured?
Right, because if your car is only worth $8,000.
That's the risk you take. You've quantified the risk, Eric. You're every time you get in the car, you're risking $8,000. But if you sustain a moderate injury, not even a serious injury, just a moderate injury, that could be worth $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. So you got to just weigh the risks. We're in a risk weighing game here. Which risk do you want to take? Do you want to take an $8,000 risk for your car, or do you want to take a $25,000 risk for your body?
Bang.
And if when you're looking at it like that, it's really an easy decision.
Well, some folks needed to hear it explained like that.
215-227-2727. The number for My Philly Lawyer. If this kind of advice makes sense to you, when you need us, you give us a call because we're there for you always. All right, let's talk to Ron on line three.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, two questions. One was an umbrella insurance for $1 million.
Okay.
So that, I guess, would that be personal liability, right?
Yes. How's
that coming for an uninsured motorist?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. There's two kinds of umbrella policies. I have both. Not a lot of people do. There's liability umbrella, in which case it's strictly paid to other people. If, God forbid, you cause a catastrophic accident and you've got $100,000 policy on your car, the most your car insurance will pay is $100,000. You may have caused $1 million loss. You may have killed someone, God forbid, but that happens. You own a home. You've got equity in your house. You want to protect that because if you cause $1 million loss, Ron, and you only have $100,000 policy, the person who you caused that loss to may say, I'm not taking the $100,000 from Ron's company and giving Ron a general release. I'm going to sue Ron. I'm going to get $1 million judgment. I'm going to then collect Ron's $100,000 policy and take his house. That can happen. And what happens is with an umbrella policy, you've placed an umbrella over your primary coverage. So the $100,000 gets paid. And then the umbrella kicks in and pays anything up to the limits of the umbrella, or $1 million in your case. So that's just for your liability, what you've caused to other people. However, there are carriers, and it is possible to get an umbrella for your UM, for your uninsured motorist and your underinsured motorist. See, the maximum that a carrier will offer in Pennsylvania, I believe, is $500,000 in coverage. And if $500,000 is not enough coverage for you, for your family, for your body, for your, you know, if you're knocked out, you can't go to work the rest of your life. If $500,000 isn't going to do it for you, then you need to get an umbrella for your underinsured coverage. And there are carriers that will offer up to $3 million, maybe even $5 million in umbrella coverage for uninsured and underinsured motorists. So primarily it's liability, but occasionally it can be for uninsured and underinsured motorists. Those are great questions. You need to make sure your insurance agent or broker has that conversation with you, Ron, before you know for sure what type of coverage you have with your umbrella.
Yeah, and thinking about it, I don't think he mentioned it at all. Uninsured and not insured motorists.
Uninsured is not insured. So you got uninsured, and then you have underinsured. If the folks who hit you have coverage, but they don't have enough to pay you for your damages, that's an underinsured claim. If they have no coverage, it's an uninsured claim. If they're unidentified, it's an uninsured claim. Ron, thanks for calling Court Radio, sir. Have a great Saturday. New callers coming in
great
today.
Great new callers, yeah. Too. Good stuff.
All right, let's talk to line five.
No, I think we need to
real quick. Line five, anonymous. Oh, anonymous.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm calling because hypothetically, say I have insurance and I allow somebody to use my vehicle, and they have an accident and they left the scene of the accident. Who would be liable in that situation?
Anytime we lend our vehicle to a friend, we lend it with the risk that they could have an accident. That's their fault. And our insurance coverage covers the loss. So, Mr. Anonymous, hypothetically, your insurance company would have to pay for any damages your friend caused to happen.
So hypothetically, we should never let a friend who doesn't have their own insurance.
It doesn't matter whether he has his own insurance. Mr. Anonymous's coverage would be primary. His coverage comes first.
Mr.
If the
Anonymous.
Friend has coverage,
right.
It's secondary. So if Anonymous's coverage is for $15,000 and the friend causes $50,000 in losses, Anonymous's coverage pays the first $15,000 and then the friend's coverage pays after that. And not the car always comes first. So, Anonymous, looks like you're going to have to make a claim to your hypothetical insurance company. Have a great Saturday, and we have to take a quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
When we say winning matters most, we mean it. My Philly Lawyer just helped secure an $80 million victory for a client suffering from a defective medical product. Whether it's a motor vehicle, workplace, or medical malpractice injury, My Philly Lawyer gets results.
If you've been injured and want aggressive, thoughtful, thorough representation, call My Philly Lawyer first.
Philly's legal champions. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. When winning matters most.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, we're back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host every Saturday morning at Court Radio. Joining the studio with my friends, Manny Manuel and Eric Tactics Jackson. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
We've been talking about insurance, and I hope the folks who have listened have gotten something from today's broadcast. But I want to repeat that I am willing to review your insurance policies. I am willing to review your insurance policies. All you have to do is email me the policy to dean@myphillylawyer.com. We'll have a conversation. I'll make some suggestions. Perhaps I won't. Maybe you have the perfect policy. And then you'll be on your way. I'm doing this because I just think about my parents, and I want to make sure that, folks, when you need to make a claim, you have what you think you have, and you have what you need to make that claim right.
And for free, you're going to do this.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
I'm going to go over your policy, folks, for free. Just email him your policy. He'll do it, too.
I will. Why do insurance companies want you to choose limited tort? It requires them to have less risk. Simple as that. Mm. If they get to sell you a policy for 80% of the premium and incur only 20% of the risk, That sounds good to an insurance company.
Sounds good to a lot of people.
They sell you an expensive policy, what we would consider an expensive policy, a full tort policy that gives you unbridled rights to sue and collect from any at-fault driver in Pennsylvania. And you've increased the risk to the insurance companies, and it's not for enough for them to make it worth their while. So that little bit more that you're paying for full tort exposes them to substantially greater risk, and that's not something they like to do. And if they don't like to do it, it's probably in your favor.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So, folks, I want you to have a full tort policy. I want you to have uninsured and underinsured motorist with that policy. And if that requires you to tweak your policy and take a bigger chance on the property damage, increasing your deductibles in order to save some money and put that towards these other coverages, then that's what I want you to do. It's as simple as that. You don't have to pay a lot more money. And finally, if you don't have stacking, you're a fool. Let's talk to Vincent on line two.
Vince left.
That's all right. He had a question about stacking.
No, he probably answered it. Good.
He wants to know if stacking works between if you're a business owner, can you stack between your business policy and your personal policy? And the answer is probably yes, but there is two types. Now we're going to get into graduate level work. Okay, this is you're done the undergrad degree. This is graduate level. There's intercompany stacking and intra company stacking.
We're getting into minutia now.
Intra, like intramural,
mm-hmm.
You play in the school. You won't play. You're not playing
yeah.
in another school.
That's right.
Okay.
Did that too, yeah.
All right. Intra-company. You have whoever. You have some insurance company that begins with a P. And you have three cars on your policy with them. And you have stacking. That's intra-policy stacking. It's within the same policy. If you're a policyholder with more than one policy, you've got a policy with the P company and you've got a policy with the S company, and you've got your motorcycle on the S company, you got your car on the P company, that's intercompany stacking or inter-policy stacking. And that can happen whether you have stacking on a policy or not. If you've got access to two different policies, this doesn't happen a lot, and that's why.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
But this really goes to Vince's question. If he's got an insurance policy with a company for his commercial vehicles and another insurance company policy with his private companies, he could possibly stack both of those policies. This is why you need representation. You can't do this on your own.
Yeah, it is a little convoluted here.
Yeah, it gets tough, and insurance companies don't make it easy. And we actually have to review the language of policies sometimes, occasionally. And that requires a keen legal mind, one who's studied for years and practiced over and over, made all the mistakes he could possibly make.
Would you know anyone like that, Dean?
If you've got a legal problem, My Philly Lawyer is the place for you. Give us a call, 215-227-2727. Every week we represent new folks who have been involved in really bad accidents that need legal representation in order to get made whole again. I just got back from Dolphin County, Harrisburg. Yeah. Whew, that's not Philly, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not. It's been 4 years there, yeah.
I was up there for a mediation on Friday. What a waste of time that was. And they said to me, hey, this isn't Philly.
You know it's not.
You know, but I'm going to fight for our client up there because this is a 16-year-old girl that was mauled by a Rottweiler and a pit bull. And she is such a sweet girl, but she is left with scars from head to toe.
For life.
And she literally was wearing, it was hot on Friday, she was wearing a heavy sweatshirt and sweatpants because she doesn't let anybody see her scars. And they wanted to make some boneheaded offer, which I thought was ridiculous, and I'm just not putting up with it. So that was a tangent, but, you know.
It was a worthy one, though.
Yeah. Folks, we are all out of time. Guys, I want to thank you for your good questions, listeners and my folks in the studio. I will see you next Saturday, same time, same place.